بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. اللہ تعالی ہمارے دلوں کو اس رات میں بدل لے. یا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا علی دینک ویا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا علی طاعتک. کہ او ٹرن آف ہارٹس ٹرن آور ہارٹس ٹورڈز یور دین. ویا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا علی طاعتک الی طاعتک. And oh, turn of hearts, turn our hearts towards your itaat, towards your guidance. So inshallah, let's make a firm intention that tonight, we only have few minutes left before the 15th of Shaban. And many of you were wondering, in fact I received few texts earlier on, asking what is the significance of the 15th of Shaban. We hear it is bid'at. We hear the month of Shaban, many things we do is bid'at, innovation. We hear the 15th of Shaban, the night, many things we do is bid'at. The next day to keep a roza is bid'at. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These are the texts I've been receiving from few youngsters. Inshallah, today let me explain to you a few significance of the month of Shaban and also the 15th of Shaban, the night, a very special night. And also the roza which many people will keep tomorrow. First of all, the month of Shaban, the word Shaban. I was reading a book recently and a very good nukta, a very important point I came upon. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentions, he says that once Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he mentioned regarding Shaban. He says Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made this word a very special word. Ye bahut mubarak lafz hai Shaban. اس کی اصل بھی عجیب ہے کہ شعبان اس میں شین ہے، عین ہے، با ہے، الف ہے اور نون ہے. اس کا کیا مطلب؟ شیخ عبد القادر جیلانی رحمت اللہ علیہ فرماتے ہیں کہ شین سے مراد شرف ہے، شعبان میں شین سے مراد شرف ہے. اور پھر فرماتے ہیں کہ عین سے مراد علو ہے، برتری، با سے مراد بر ہے یعنی نیکی اور تقوی، الف سے مراد الفت ہے اور نون سے مراد نورانیت ہے. کہ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ نے ایسے مہینے میں شعبان میں شرافت حاصل، شرافت دی ہے، علو دیا ہے، برتری، بر اور تقوی اور نیکی دی ہے، الفت رکھی ہے، اور تمام کو ملا کر اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ نے اس مہینے کو بہت نورانیت بنایا ہے. اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ has made this month a very special month. And it is why Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم would prepare for the month of Shaban, he would prepare in the month of Rajab. Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم would make a very special dua. اللہم بارک لنا فی رجب و شعبان وبلغنا رمضان. او اللہ بلیس اس ان دی منتھ آف رجب، رجب کے مہینے میں اے اللہ تو مبارک فرما، برکت عطا فرما. اللہم بارک لنا فی رجب و شعبان، اور شعبان کے مہینے میں بھی او اللہ تو برکت عطا فرما. وبلغنا رمضان، اور رمضان تک ہم کو صحیح سالم پہنچا دے. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would constantly make this dua when the approach of Rajab would take place. This is the reason that we are actually planting a seed in the month of Rajab. The seed of ibadat, the seed of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the seed of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have just planted the seed in the month of Rajab. The month of Shaban approaches and now the seeds are growing. They're getting bigger. They're growing into a very big tree. And when the month of Shaban finishes and the month of Ramadan approaches, then these branches or these trees, they bear fruits. Fruits such as apples, fruits such as berries, etc. A scholar says that this is the same example that we have just put a seed, planted a seed in the month of Rajab, our ibadat. Our ibadat needs to grow and we need to get more close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Shaban comes, we have reached certain level, meaning the branches of the tree is beginning to grow.
The month of Sha'ban finishes and the month of Ramadan approaches. Now we can start reaping the fruits of ibadat. These are the three very special months. Let's look at ourselves. The month of Rajab has passed. The month of Sha'ban, it's the first 15 days of the month of Sha'ban. 1.5 months have passed. How big has the branch or the tree grown? Or could we ask the questions ourselves? Have we yet planted the seed of ibadat, which we're supposed to do in the month of Rajab? At this moment of time, the 15th of Sha'ban, the tree should have grown. And now when the Sha'ban finishes, the branches need to come out and the leaves need to come out. And when the month of Ramadan starts and begins, that's when the fruit becomes ripe. And we need to start taking the fruits and consume these fruits. This is the sweetness of ibadat in the month of Ramadan. That's why many of us find it very difficult that when the month of Ramadan approaches, we find it very difficult to leave our sins. It's very hard, I know, it's very hard to leave our sins, and we say, chalo, first few days, we're still getting used to Ramadan. 10 days have passed, we're still getting used to Ramadan. 20 days have passed, we're still getting used to Ramadan. Allah, Ramzan to puri ho gayi hai ab tak. What are we getting used to? It's because our car is very fast. Remember, I mentioned this before. The shaitan is trying his best. In these 11 months, he's trying his best to take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's having a boxing fight with you. And we are losing 11 rounds. And now the 12th round, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to help in the month of Ramadan. And he says, my mercy is superior to what all shaitan was trying to do. And this is where the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes for help in the month of Ramadan. But we need to push ourselves. We need to start boxing with shaitan. And that starts in the month of Rajab. And now when we begin to feel the power in the month of Rajab, and then we're getting stronger, we're trying to knock him out in the month of Sha'ban, and now in the month of Ramadan, it'll be very easy for us. This is an example of the few days which we have left in the month of Sha'ban and the few days which are approaching in the month of Ramadan. Regarding this very special night, and I will mention this night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the month of Sha'ban, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would fast very often. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would mention that I used to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam fast so much in the month of Sha'ban that I would believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not stop, would make it like Ramadan. And then when he would stop, I would think, will he ever fast? So this is how he used to play a game in the month of Sha'ban, that sometimes he used to fast, sometimes he never used to fast. This is why our ulama say that when you begin to fast in the month of Sha'ban, then this is like a training ground for you when the month of Ramadan approaches. And this is why one of the person who texted me recently, he says, oh Masab, do we have to fast tomorrow? If it's not a sunnah, then why should we fast? Astaghfirullah. Is there a sunnah? Is there a mustahab? This is the question. Let alone being it mustahab, let alone being it sunnah or farz or wajib, whatever it is. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has encouraged us to fast in any of these days, then there must be a wisdom or a hikmat behind fasting on these days. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that according to him, میرے نزدیک حکمت یہ ہے کہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم 15th شعبان کو دوسرے دن جب روزہ رکھتے تھے یہ اس لیے رکھتے تھے کہ امت کو بتانا چاہتے ہیں کہ تم اس روزے کو رکھو اور چند اور دن روزے رکھو تاکہ آپ رمضان میں سہولت ہو جائے آپ کو پتا چل جائے گا کہ رمضان میں روزے کیسے ہوں گے and tomorrow when people will be fasting you will realize that this is the peak. Meaning this is the longest roza we will ever have in many years. The longest roza. 9:45 or 9:43, whatever the time the iftar will be. That's how long the roza will be. And then the month of Ramadan will come, it will get easier. But if we can fast tomorrow, then the month of Ramadan will be easy. We will just test what the month of Ramadan will be like. So this month is a very special month. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would specify certain acts of ibadat in the month of Ramadan. Although in the narrations, in the hadith, we do not find any specific ibadat. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, Well, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, ek martaba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kamre mein dakhil huye. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered my room. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam apna kapra mubarak utara. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his blessed clothes off. And then suddenly he put his clothes back on. Apne kapre ko dobara pehen liya. Aur fir nikal gaye kamre se. Aur fir chale gaye. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha farmati hai ki mujhe ghairat a gayi. Ki shayad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam apni dusri biwi ke paas gaye honge. That I felt very weird that today is my night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend time with me. But suddenly he takes his clothes off and he puts it on again and now he's rushing off outside. I am thinking that he must have been to one of his wife or he's going to one of his wives and he's leaving me. Aur jab aurat ko ghairat aati hai, they will not leave you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now, he's going. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha quietly puts on her clothes and she leaves the room and she peeps outside. Where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gone? And when she peeps outside, she sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going through the alleyway, the streets of Madinatul Munawwara. And she begins to follow him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes close to Jannatul Baqi, the graveyard of Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, from the back, she's looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enter the Jannatul Baqi and he goes into Jannatul Baqi and he starts to seek forgiveness for the Muslims of Jannatul Baqi and the Muslims around the world. On this special night, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making this dua. And he would make the dua and she would see that in this night Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, and I am only thinking of the creation, which is the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where am I and where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Suddenly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins to get up and she realizes that he may see me. So she rushes off back to her house. Apne kamre mein dobara chali gayi aur fir goya wo so gayi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kamre mein dakhil ho gaye aur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha ki awaz, jo saans ki awaz hai, the breathing, she's breathless because she ran from Jannatul Baqi, and he sees that she is breathless. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realizes there's something fishy going on here. What is going on? How come you're restless at this time of the night? She says, O Prophet of Allah, you came in the room, you took your clothes off, then you put them back on and you went towards Jannatul Baqi. When you were going outside, I was thinking that today is my night and now you are going towards one of your other wives. I felt very weird, very, very bad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied. He says, O Aisha, would Jibreel Amin, would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would the beloved Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave you in this state, that I would leave you and I would go towards my other wives? O Aisha, would I do that? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala replies, no, O Prophet of Allah. This is when I realized, O Prophet of Allah, that when I followed you and I saw you in Jannatul Baqi, seeking forgiveness for yourself and for the ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, that, O Aisha, today is a very special night. Today is a very special night, Laylatul Bara'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he frees thousands and thousands of slaves who are in the fire of hell or who are destined to go to fire of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees them. How many? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carries on. He says, aapko pata hai Banu Kalb kya hai? Banu Kalb ek khandan hai. Wo bakriya charate hai, unke yahan bahut si bakriya hai. That this Banu Kalb, a tribe, they had the most sheep or most goats. That it's, you cannot even count them, that's how many they have. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies that on this special night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees those slaves, that amount of slaves, that if you were to take the wool from every sheep that is in this tribe, even then that will not count or that will not be equivalent to the amount of people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees on this special night. This is the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which descends on this special night. And then he carries on saying to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that, O Aisha, would you give me permission only for tonight that I worship my Lord? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permission, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend his whole night in this night, in this special night. This is why a Quran ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ أَمْرًا مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. Ikrima radiallahu an, a famous mufassir, and many other mufassirin, they say this ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning Laylatul Mubarakah, is actually referring to this night, the 15th of Shaban. This is the very special night which this Quran ayat is revealed to. And I would like to give this jawab to those people who say this night is not a very special night. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this in the Quran, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in many ahadith, if the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in would spend their entire night in the 15th of Sha'ban, if the Tabi'een would spend their entire night, and the great scholar until this day and age would spend this night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would you still say that this night is not worthy of being worshipped? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning in the Quran, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ, کہ ہم نے اس کو اس مبارک رات میں اتارا. کیا اتارا؟ ایک سوال پیدا ہوتا ہے کہ کیا اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی نے قرآن کو اتارا اس رات میں؟ حالانکہ ہم نے سنا ہے, ہم نے پڑھا ہے کہ قرآن اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی نے لیلۃ القدر میں اتارا ہے. On the 27th night or whatever night the Qadr is, لیلۃ القدر, the night of power, Allah سبحانہ وتعالی has revealed that إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Allah revealed the Quran in this night. Then what is this Quran ayat saying, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ? The Mufassirin, they mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that all the things that is in Lawh-e Mahfuz, jitne cheeze Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne likhi hain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raat mein farishton ko kehte hain ke is saal ye hone wala hai, is saal ye hone wala hai, is saal ye hone wala hai. And not only that, all the waqiat that takes place from the creation of this world until the final day or the trumpet when will be blown, everything that will happen in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in Lawh-e Mahfuz. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that tamam waqiat jo pesh hone wala hai usko bhi humne is raat mein utara, to Quran jo Laylatul Qadr mein nazil hua hai wo bhi ek waqiat mein se hai, usko bhi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raat mein farmaya hai ki hum usko Laylatul Qadr mein utarenge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that in this special night, we will even mention to you that on the night of Qadr, we will also reveal the Quran. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is mentioning in this small verse, that the everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created until the last day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning in this night. This is why that today's topic is not only about Shaban. It is not only about Shaban. We have heard many things about Shaban. We have heard many, for many years we hear about Shaban, but today I like to point out a few people which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not forgive. Out of those thousands of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not forgive them. Kabhi unki maghfirat nahi hogi. Wo log kaun hai? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahadith mubarakah mein farmate hain, there are many ahadith. I would like to point out few ahadith. That one of those people, remember, Allah ki rahmat josh mein aati hai. Is raat mein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pehle aasman pur utarte hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes on the first night, first sky, on this special night. This is why in one of the kitabs I read, ke Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam, unhone ek bahut achhi dua ki hai. And do you know, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam has made dua for every individual here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made dua for the whole ummah. But there is also another prophet, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam, he has also made dua for this ummah. And this dua he made was on this 15th night, the Shaban night. He says, Allahumma Rabb Dawood, Allahumma Rabb Dawood, ighfir liman da'aka fi hadhihi al-layla aw istaghfaraka fiha. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam made this dua that, oh Allah, O Lord of Dawood, Dawood ki khuda, Dawood ki Allah, اغفر لمن دعاك في هذه الليلة, اے Allah,
تو معاف فرما اس شخص کو جو تجھ سے دعا کرتا ہے اس رات میں, او استغفرک فیہا, یا تجھ سے مغفرت طلب کرتا ہے اس رات میں. او اللہ, forgive that person who seeks forgiveness, who asks from you on this special night. This is why Hazrat Ali Karramallahu Wajhu would come out from his house on this night and he would look towards the skies and he would realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has descended onto the first sky, and he would remember Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam's dua and he would make this dua. And he would say that if Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam make dua for himself and for the ummah, then we should also make dua for our ummah. Not to forget all those people who are suffering around the world. So this night, I can go on and on, but let me mention a few people. The first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive on this night. The first, and this is the first and the biggest sin in Islam, is the mushrik, an idolater. Jo Allah ke saath kisi dusre ko maabood banaye. Aur hadith mein aata hai ki mushrik, jo shirk hai, uski do qisme hai. Shirk khafi aur shirk jali, meaning a big shirk, which a person, when he says, na'uzu billah, that he does not believe in Allah as Allah, or he believes in Allah and at the same time he believes in other gods, na'uzu billah. That's the big shirk. And the second shirk, which we do not realize, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that I fear that my ummah will be performing this shirk, and I fear for my ummah. The sahaba asked, O Prophet of Allah, what is this sin, what is this shirk? He says, shirk khafi, a very small shirk. That is that the actions we do not do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do it for other people. Hum masjid mein aate hain, hamare walidain ki wajah se aate hain. Hum masjid mein aate hain, imam ki wajah se aate hain. Hum Quran padhte hain, ustaz ki wajah se Quran padhte hain. Whatever we do it for other people. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa amwalikum, walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa amalikum. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam farmate hain, ki Allah ta'ala, inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa amwalikum. Allah اپنی صورتوں کو نہیں دیکھتا اور اللہ اپنے مال کو نہیں دیکھتا. وَلَكِنْ يَنْدُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَعَمَالِكُمْ, لیکن جو اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی دیکھتا ہے وہ اپنے دلوں کو اور دلوں میں جو تقویٰ ہیں اس کو دیکھتے ہیں. This is what Allah سبحانہ وتعالی mentioned. So whatever you do it for Allah سبحانہ وتعالی. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, مَنْ سَمَّعَ النَّاسَ بِعَمِلِهِ سَمَّعَ اللَّهُ أَسَامِعَ بِهِ خَلْقِهِ وَحَقَّرَهُ وَصَغَرَهُ وَقَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That whoever shows off his actions, whoever shows off his namaz, whoever shows off his Quran, whoever shows off his tasbihat, whatever he's doing, he's showing other people that I am reading a lot of tasbih, I'm reciting a lot of Quran, he's doing it for other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the day of judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will degrade him and will show him off in front of the whole of creation in the day of judgment. This is the person who shows off his actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true ikhlas in our ibadat. The second person in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the second person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive is that person who harbors enmity between people, between his fellow beings. Kabhi kabhi dusre ko naraz karta hai, ghibat karta hai, hasad karta hai, all these things. He shows hatred between another Muslim brother. A person who has this illness, it is very important that you clear this before you start your ibadat. It is very important. Remember, this is mentioned in that hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that a person who has some kind of enmity or hatred between another person, a Muslim brother, then that person should seek forgiveness from that person before he seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember one thing, kabhi kabhi hum kisi se, we hate another person. Sometimes it is, we do hate them. Why? Because of the sins they do. But remember one thing, we hear that famous saying, hate the sin, not the sinner. Ke gunah se nafrat ho, lekin gunahgar se nafrat na ho. Kabhi kabhi aap unko daawat dete hain, kisi deen ki baatein batate hain, kabhi wo seedhe raaste par aa jata hai. So do not show hatred between that person, but show hatred because of the sin. The biggest illness we have, many a times we hear, especially now, it is very am, like we walk out of this masjid and first thing we'll start is that person is like this, this person like this. Not only showing hatred, but also our tongue is very fast. Bahut katta hai hamare zuban. It's very, very fast that we cannot stop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept our tongue between two cages.
The cage is the lips. Allah ne is zuban ko is cage mein, pinjre mein rakha hai, taake usse mahfooz rahe ye zuban. Agar ye cage nikal gaya, to zuban niklegi, wo sab kuch kata karegi.
This ghibat is very, very bad. Hazrat Ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a very famous muhaddith, he says that kabhi kabhi agar koi shakhs ghibat karta hai, yani jab bhi wo ghibat karta hai, to ghibat karne wale uske jo nek amal hai, nek amal hai, wo jiski ghibat ki hai usko de diya jata hai.
A person who is backbiting about another person, the backbiter, a person who is backbiting, all his good deeds or whatever he's saying, that is passed on to the person who's been backbiting about. So there are two lessons we learn from here. One thing is, a person, sometimes he feels that this person is talking about me and he feels very bad. But from this we should understand that we should become happy. Why? Because the person who is backbiting about you, you should be happy that his good deeds are passed on to you. You're not doing any good actions. Aap nek amal mushakkat nahi uthate. Apne sofe par baith kar uske nek amal aapko diya jata hai. So in that way you should be happy. Once a buzruk, a person came to me and he says that a person has been saying this about you. That person, he says, who is it? He says, is this person here? That buzruk, he goes to the mithai shop. Apne mithai kharidta hai. Aur wo us shakhs ke paas jata hai. Aur usse kehta hai ki ye leo, ye mithai hai. To wo taajub se dekhta hai ki mithai mere paas kyun? Usne kaha ki ye mithai aapke liye hai. Kyunki aapne bahut sari meri ghibat ki aur aapke bahut sare hasanat aur nek amal mujhe diya gaya hai aur hal jazaa'ul ihsan illa al ihsan, ke ihsan ka badla ihsan se hota hai, to main aapko ye mithai deta hu ke chalo meri taraf se bhi aapko kuch mil jaye. Yeah, so this is a, nowadays you know we don't understand this. We say something about another person, but in those days the buzuk would become happy and they say that you have sent your good deeds to me. One thing, unko tanbeeh bhi hoti hai, tanbeeh to hoti hai, lekin uske sath khushi bhi hoti hai ki chalo mujhe baghair kisi amal karne se Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne mujhe nek amal diya hai, in amal diya hai. So that's why it's very important. Ibn Mubarak also mentioned, he says that agar main kisi ki ghibat karta to main apne walidain ki ghibat karta taaki mere sab hasanat mere walidain ko mil jaye. If I were to backbite about someone, if I were to, then I would backbite about my own parents, because all my hasanat will go to my parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this illness. And remember, this is one thing, to show hatred, to talk about other people, this or a person who does this will also not be forgiven on this special night until that person seeks forgiveness from the other person. The third person is that person who cuts ties from his relatives. We are seeing this very bahut aam ho gaya ki apne rishtedaron ke sath qata rahmi hoti hai. Bhai bhai ke sath baat nahi karta, behan behan ke sath baat nahi karta, bhanja apne mamu ke sath baat nahi karta. You know, people are not talking to their own family members, let alone relatives. This is also a person who does this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive that person until that person goes to the families and he seeks forgiveness for everything they have done. Remember one thing, kabhi apna jurm nahi hota. You have not done something, but some people may say that this person had this upon me, that's why I hate that person, I'm not going to talk to that family. Kabhi kabhi ghibat nahi hoti, kabhi kabhi buhtan ho jata hai. Sometimes it is not backbiting, sometimes it becomes buhtan. So beware of buhtan. The fourth person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that a person will not be forgiven in this night, is that person who wears his trousers below his ankles. Jo izar hai wo apne takhno se upar rakhe. Have your trousers above your ankles. Remember, a lot of the times we see that our trousers are above the ankles, but our jabbas are dragging like the Arabs. This is not allowed as well. The jabba should also be above our ankles. That's why I say to a lot of youngsters that sometimes they say, oh, these trousers are too big, sometimes I have to cut it or I have to fold it. I say, just why don't you wear three quarters? Three quarters is ideal. It'll keep your trousers above your ankles. So this lowering the ankle, ek martaba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba mein arz kiya ke Banu Israel mein ek shakhs tha, wo jab wo chalta tha to ek martaba ek zameen ne usko das liya. The earth a person from Banu Israel was walking when suddenly the earth split in half and that person was dragged into the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this person is dragged into the earth and he's being dragged, he's being sent down to the earth and he'll continue falling on the bottom of earth until the day of judgment. Sahaba asked, for what reason? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that this person was because he was wearing his trousers below his ankles. And not only because below his ankles, but he was wearing it because of takabbur, because of pride. Jo shakhs apne izar ko takhnon se niche rakhta hai, wo takabbur ki alamat hai. Aur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne farmaya ki takabbur ki wajah se apne izar ko takhnon ke niche rakhta tha. Isi wajah se zameen ne unko dhas liya. Has taken the earth, taken him down. Hakim Akhtar sahab, damat barakatum, he mentioned that England walo, when he came England, he mentioned, he said, England walo ke liye agar char cheezon par amal ho jaye to wo Allah ki wali ban jayega. If a person in England, he's talking about the people of UK, that if you act upon four things, you'll become the wali, a friend of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun, that when you are the friend and the wali of Allah, then don't fear anything, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared the goodness in this world and also in the hereafter. So Hakim Akhtar sahab Damat Barakatum, he mentioned four things. He says, sabse pehli cheez, agar usse hifazat ho jaye, so that's the first point of becoming the wali and the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says the first thing he mentioned was to have his trousers above his ankles. The second thing he mentioned, he says, dari ka rakhna. Agar England mein koi shakhs dari rakhta hai, to wo aadha wali ban jayega. He become the half friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he'll only have to act upon two things. Now for many people, above the ankles is easy. Yes. To keep a beard, alhamdulillah, mashallah, for some people is easy. The third thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa Hakim Akhtar sahab Damat Barakatuh mentioned, he says, this is talking about tajruba, remember. He says the third thing, if you act upon it, you'll become almost the friend of Allah. He says that is to keep low your gazes. Especially in the UK, to lower your gazes, you'll become almost the friend of Allah. And the fourth thing Hazrat mentions, he says, that kabhi kabhi hum nazar ko nichi rakhte hain, agar town mein jaate hain, nazar to nichi rakhte hain. Kabhi shop mein jaate hain, nazar to nichi rakhte hain. Lekin kabhi kabhi khayal aata hai ki ek aurat samne khadi hai, to uska tasavvur ghumne lagta hai apne dimag mein. That sometimes we ponder, we think that I am not looking, I'm keeping my gazes away. But in your heart you're thinking there's a woman there and you begin to think. Hakim Akhtar sahab Damat Barakatuh, he mentioned that if you act upon these four things, you'll become the wali and the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith that ek martaba nazar agar ho jaye kisi aurat par to wo maaf hai, dusri martaba nahi karni chahiye. So it is very important that as soon as we see one nazar, we put it down. Not like some people are saying that when you see once, look as much as you can, because it's still the first nazar, we won't be forgiven. No, this is not the case. As soon as you look, look down. So these are the four things to become the wali and the friend of Allah. So to lower your ankles, that person who lowers his trousers below the ankles will also not be forgiven on the day of judgment. The fifth one is to disrespect the parents. The sixth one is alcoholic. The seventh one is a murderer. The eighth one is a person who commits adultery. And the ninth one, remember there are many, the ninth one Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning, that person who does black magic upon people. Jo shakhs kisi dusre bhai ya behen par jadu karta hai, uski bhi is raat mein kabhi maafi nahi hogi. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that to do jadu, to do black magic, that person is a sign, that person is an idolater. Wo mushrik ho jata hai. That person becomes a non-believer. And mushrik is the shirk, is the biggest of all sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the sahaba, ki ala unabbiukum bi akbar al-kaba'ir, will I not mention to you the biggest of all sins? Sahaba asked, O Prophet of Allah, what is it? He says, al-ishraku billah wa uquq al-walidain, and he carries on. The Allah ke saath shareek karna aur walidain ki nafarmani karna, ye sabse bade gunahon mein se hai. And big sins are not forgiven until you seek tawbah. Remember that. They're not forgiven until you seek tawbah. So, shirk, black magic, jadu, this is also shirk. We have seen that it's become very am, not only in India, not only in Pakistan, not only in Bangladesh, but also in our very own country. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this illness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide the people who do this. And if they are not guided, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove them from our lives. Just like to mention one story before I conclude. And this is a very important story, it's very important I mention this to you now. That it was only a few years ago, from Dewsbury Merkaz. Hazrat Maulana Maslihuddin Sahib Damat Barakatum, a Sheikhul Hadith of Dewsbury Darulum. He wrote a letter to Darulum, in our Darulum, Darulum Bari. And he wrote a letter and our Hazrat, he looked at it and our Asatiza looked at it. And they showed it round to all the Asatiza and the Talaba. Talaba ko parhaya. To usme likha hua tha. Kya only a few years ago, maybe about 10, 15 years ago. He says he was in Saudi and he read an article in Arabic language. In the Arabic language, there was an article. And in the article, he mentioned the Arafat ka din tha. Aur ek Musliman bhai apne bhai ke saath, friends, they are in the tents of Arafat. When they were having some rest before they do the ibadat, sometimes we get very tired in a hot scorching sun. We want to rest in Arafat as well for a few minutes. So we go to sleep and then we are fresh for our ibadat. So ek shakhs, wo so gaya tha, ki wo achanak uth para. Aur wo uth para aur apne bhai se kaha ki, dekho dekho zalzala ho raha hai. That, oh brother, look, look, there is earthquake taking place. The person gets up and he says, earthquake, I cannot fear any earthquake. Kabhi mujhe to zalzala nahi nazar aata, I cannot even feel it. He says, look, I can feel it, come on my place. So that person goes on his place and this person moves away. And he says that, look, I cannot feel anything. Wherever this person goes, he cannot feel it, but the person who's saying he's feeling zalzala, he is feeling the earthquake, he's feeling the zalzala. This person says to his brother that, you calm down, there's something wrong with you. You just calm down, I will call someone, I will call a doctor. That person, he calms down, he sits down. This person goes off and he calls the people who are in charge of Hajj. There are people who are helpers. And they come. And they say, when they come to the place where this person was, that person cannot be found. We cannot find the person. Where is he gone? This person, the article relates that when they came to that place, they saw that the where he was sitting, there was some kind of a hum size. Qabar jo hoti hai, wo jo hum hota hai, you know, the qabar, when we know there's a qabar there. There's something there. So he's scratching his head, I've never seen this before. So then they call the people of Saudi and the people, some say the fire engine came, all the people who are in charge of Hajj, they came. And they say there's something wrong here. So they say, we've never seen this in Arafat before. So they start to dig with this. They dig the grave. They've been digging. 9 feet deep, they found that person lying under the grave. 9 feet deep. That person who was saying that I'm feeling zalzala. Which means that the person has been swallowed by this earth on the day of Arafat in the Hajj. In the month of Hajj, in the days of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing him. For what reason? The people asked, who is his relatives? Who is it? He said, no, I'm just a friend. But the family are at home. Oh, the person was from Pakistan. He says, oh, Pakistan mein hai. To usne kaha ki acha. So let's find out where they're from, who are the family relatives. To us zamane mein makatib hote the. You used to have maktab. The group will have a maktab. You contact the maktab, they have the contacts to your place. So when the people contacted the maktab, they contacted his family at home and they said, we have seen this has happened. And they were very well shocked. So they say, for what reason? Why has this happened? I'm making it very short. Why has this happened? They say, woh to pakka namazi tha. Zakat ada karta tha, pure Ramzan roza rakhta tha. Halanki har saal haj ke liye bhi aata tha. Lekin Allah ne usko kaise is azab mein mubtala kiya? To unhone kaha ki sab kuch karta tha lekin uski bahut buri aadat thi. Woh bachpan se buri aadat thi. Woh ye ki woh dusre par jadoo karta tha. That person was doing black magic upon people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is what happens to a mushrik. Whoever is a mushrik, jo Allah ke sath shirk karta hai, wo sabse bade gunah mein mubtala ho jata hai. Aur jab wo mubtala ho jata hai, to agarche musalman hone ki halat mein wo Arafat ke maidan mein haj ke mahine mein wo yahan hai, lekin wo mushrik mara hai, isi wajah se Allah ne usko zameen par ghasit liya hai. So a person who does black magic, this is very important, we need to understand this. And not only that, sometimes we see that, okay, one of our family members have done this, have done that. Do you have proof? You don't have proof. If you do not have proof, you should not give buhtan. Until you find and you are fully certain, you should not. And you should make dua for that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them. And if Allah is not guiding them, then the next dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, that unke liye hidayat ki dua karo. Warna agar hidayat ki dua, hidayat unke muqaddar mein nahi hai, to ya Allah, hamari zindagi se unko nikal. So sometimes it's very important we understand these principles of our deen. So this is another person whose sins will not be forgiven. There are many in the hadith. I can go on and on. I've prepared a very big topic. But I'm trying to make it short in this short span of time, because right now before the Maghrib Salah, I want to give you a very special gift for every person here. Just moving on to my final point, leaving out all other topics, what should we do on this special night? Yes, the first thing we do is to seek forgiveness for our Muslim brothers. Jiski ghibat ki hai, jis par bohtan lagaya hai, jiske saath qata taluq ho gaya hai, uske saath jao aur muhabbat ke saath pesh aao aur kaho ke chalo agarche mere paas meri galti hai lekin main aitraaf karta hu, I am saying my sin, you please forgive me. If that person forgives, he forgives. If not, you have done your job. So this is first thing. Secondly, to spend this night in the act of Allah, in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikr ki tilawat karna, durud sharif ko parna, Quran ki tilawat. Sometimes we have not been reading Quran, it's in the cupboards. This is a night where we can start opening the Quran fresh, so we can start preparing for the month of Ramadan. Read Surah Yasin, read Tabarak al-Ladhi, read Surah Dukhan. At least these surahs you should read before you go to sleep. If you cannot read as much Quran as you can, but the jo ahadith mein mankul hai, ke raat mein jo parna chahe, usko to paro. Many other ibadat, tasbihat. And the most important, which I have collected here, is many people are not aware, or maybe you are aware, that this is a night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes down for you who is going to live for next year, who is going to die. Kaun zinda rahega, kaun marne wala hai, rozi kisko milegi, amal kis, and the actions have been presented to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are one of the people who maybe this time next year you may not be alive, you may not be alive. So now just imagine you have got deadline. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says through the angel that you've only got 364 days. What are you going to do in these 364 days? You've got 5 years of namaz that you have missed, qaza. You have 6 years of namaz, you have 10 years of namazes. Now you'll be wondering, Allah, I've only got 1 year left. Let me make the most out of my namazes, my qaza salah. Because that's the first thing you'll do. Apni qaza ko, you know, you'll make the most out of. I'm not saying you're going to survive or live until next year. You may die very next moment. Who knows, maybe each one of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just appointed an angel of death that before this person even steps out of this jama'kana, he'll be dead flat on the floor. Who knows? We are not sure we're going to walk out of this jama'kana life. So the first thing we need to do is to be aware that my next few days or my next few life, value every moment. Remember they say that work, you know, when you're working in your working place, work as though you're going to live for 100 years. Because if you're going to live for 100 years, you're going to work, so you're going to start getting house and money. And then the person says that worship as though you are only going to live for tomorrow. Because if you know you're going to die tomorrow, a person who has cancer would realize that, inshallah, doctor said I've only got a few days. He'll make the most out of his ibadah. So just work that thing that tomorrow I might not be alive, so work or do ibadah as though you are going to live only for 24 hours. So you'll know you'll make your namaz the best of all namazes. You will not think of anything else, you will stand in salah all night. So you worship as though you are only living for a day or two. And work as though you are living for 100 years, meaning work hard. So this night is very important. That first thing we need to realize, we need to get our ibadat, one of the most important ibadat, is to get your qaza salah. If you have qaza namazes, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, many of us have 20 to 30 years. A few people, mashallah, who come early in the masjid, they perform the qazas before the namaz time starts. It's because they realize that they have only one foot in the grave. They're going to go very soon. And remember, in one hadith, although it's da'if, some say it's mawzu, but for fazail, for virtue, I can mention it. In fazail amal, Hazrat Shaykh Zakir rahmatullah alayhi mentions that if a person, he does qaza of one namaz, I'm not talking about misses namaz, I'm talking about one qaza salah. If a person has got one qaza salah, that person will spend his time in the hellfire for 1,000 years. Ek namaz chhoot nahi gayi, ek namaz qaza ho gayi. He has done qaza, meaning he missed Fajr salah today. So he's ready at Zuhr time. And he did this deliberately. So because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him spend 1,000 years in hellfire. One hukum. So this is out of the fazal amal, Hazrat Shaykh Zikr rahmatullah alayhi mentioned. So first thing we need to understand is work out our namazes. Some people, especially the young boys, their namaz or their ibadah, their nama amal has not even started, the sins. But they need to make intention that inshallah when it starts, I will make a firm intention that I will not miss a single namaz, because I don't want to be like those people who will have to make up for 20 to 30 years of namazes. Because it's very hard. And if you got your nawafil, if you got your tahajjud, awabin, your sunan, all this, and how can you perform your qaza salah? That's why our akabir, our buzrugs mentioned that agar aapke zimme qaza namaz hai, to apne faraiz ko ada karo aur faraiz ke saath qaza bhi ada karo. Sunnat ko chhod do, nawafil ko chhod do, qaza yahi aham hai. Make your qaza important, a priority. If you have one qaza namaz, one year, then if a person, remember it's very hard to do so many namazes. If a person performs his 5 times namaz, before every namaz or after every namaz, he performs that namaz, that day's namaz, and he performs one day of qaza, then he has performed one day of ada and one day of qaza namaz. Which means in 1 year, he will perform the ada as well as he will perform 1 year of qaza. Then inshallah in 10 years, he will perform the 10 years of qaza. In 20 years, 20 years of qaza. And if he have time, like this special night, he will try and make up for as many qaza salas as he can. And in Ramadan, he'll make the most of this small nights that we have. He's not going to go to sleep in the month of Ramadan. So he'll make most of his qaza salah. So this is one thing which I encourage everybody to do on this special night. For those who don't have any qaza salahs, then another ibadat is called Salatul Tasbih, which is also very virtuous. Those who want to learn or who want to know what Salatul Tasbih is, I have a copy here. You can take one and you can start performing your Salatul Tasbih. Not only that, as much dua as you can. Remember, dua always comes first. Okay, dua ye bhi ibadat hai. A dua mukhul ibadah. Yeah? And read, make dua as much as you can. And not to forget the people of Syria and the people of Gaza and all these Muslims who are Allah savers. We don't know. We think, chalo, all these hospitals around the borders of Syria, they are Muslim hospitals. But I have heard from a representative of one of the charity trusts. He says that we have found that a lot of hospitals in the borders of Syria, they are all not our khiyalat. Hamare sunni nahi hai. Wo alag khiyalat hai. Aur jab wo hamare bhai behen aate hain, to unko mazid takleef dete hain. We don't realize that. What they are going through, we cannot see until we see for ourselves. So you should make special dua for them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a good sihat here. And they are all suffering there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the best of all sabr. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this night of ibadat and all the advices that you have been given to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept these advices. Before you leave, I have, alhamdulillah, few students from Abrar Academy have prepared a qaza diary. Okay, a very small booklet. You can keep it in your pocket. Inshallah, we'll be giving out to you if you remain seated. We'll give you a qaza salah. Have this, calculate. It's got all the instructions inside. How many you've missed or how to calculate your qaza namazes. If you do not understand, ask the ulama, they are sitting here. So you have a diary with you, keep it with you all the time and try and work towards completing your qaza salah before you become sahib tartib. Sahib tartib is that person who doesn't have any qaza namazes in his book of actions. He says, I have, alhamdulillah, no qaza namazes. Just mentioning my respected father, when he had cancer, he was saying to us as well, that alhamdulillah, I don't have any qaza namaz in my life. And alhamdulillah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take me away tomorrow, I'm happy to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when my mother used to bring new clothes to my father, sometimes he used to say that you bring in new clothes to me, forget the new clothes, why don't you put a kafan inside the cupboard? Then each time I open the cupboard, I can see the kafan and I can realize that in this clothes I will go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes you need to be happy and content that if tomorrow Allah wants to take my life, I am happy. Is this a question you can ask yourself? Because if this is not the question, then we need to get our acts together. We need to perform our qaza namazes and make ourselves sahib tartib and do not miss any namaz from now. So when we have all our namaz up to date, we can say that if Allah wants to take my life right now, I am happy Allah can take my life. I've got a box here. Mahfuz, come here. If you just remain seated, because sometimes when everyone's crowded around together, people take 1, 2, 3, 4. We only have limited qaza booklets, so inshallah we'll give them out right now whilst you're seated. So have them with you. If you have a few more brothers. please have them with you. They're very short. You can keep them in your pocket. At least this, you can tonight, you can at least start off with performing your qaza salah. And make an intention that inshallah from now, all the namaz I miss, I will try and make up for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sitting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this very special night. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah.